This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, driving cars is fun. It's also a necessity. So, you know, I try and make it fun so that that necessity is something that is more enjoyable. Brian Moody's joining us right now from autotrader.com. He is very moody, so please be careful. Watch your fingers and do not feed the bears. Brian Moody, executive editor, autotrader.com.
They're not, Alan, they're not booing. They're chanting Moody, Moody. It just sounds like booing, that's all.
Right. Nice. So listen, I just got back from New York City. And I got to tell you, man, that whole Uber thing and the Lyft thing, it is so much better than taking a taxi. And I don't know what the taxi world is going to do. I'm just saying. Because
well, here's the thing. I'm going to say something kind of mean. You ready for this?
Uh-oh.
I don't care what they're going to do. I don't care what they're going to do. And here's why.
Why?
How many years have you been going to the New York Auto Show?
Oh, my gosh. 20? 20? 24?
What happened 10 years ago, 8 years ago, when the show was letting out, and you're there on the street in the rain or the snow or the sleet?
Oh, yeah.
Did you get a taxi?
No. Walk in the rain.
You know what? Yeah. Forget you. Yeah. You had your chance to give me Disney-like service, and you didn't do it.
Yeah.
Don't cry now.
Right. Well, and here's the deal. Why do taxi cabs smell like urine? That's what I want to know. And you know what? I get in every single one of the Ubers, and they've got a bottle of water for me. They've got a breath mint. Their car smells good. It's clean. I compliment them.
Well, they also have rules. Yeah. Uber has rules about how old your car can be. So that's one of the advantages. You know, that's an advantage for sure.
Now, I'm not saying it's like that everywhere because I haven't been in an Uber in Dallas where they have a lot of, you know, cow poop and guys wear cowboy boots and are, you know, constantly having to be in cow poop. So I don't know if they keep them that clean. But in New York City, gotta say, tip of the hat to the New York Uber and Lyft drivers. Their cars were all very clean. A lot of them, I think these are entrepreneurs. You know, I work with Entrepreneur Magazine too. You can tell these people take care of that car because they know that they've got to try and get some money out of it on the end, you know. And so I got in one and it had a pair of seat covers on it. They were nice leather seat covers. And when I got out, of course, I'm a big 5 foot fat guy. So I got out and I slid across it and it kind of pulled his seat cover up. And I go, oh, I'm sorry. He goes, oh, no problem. He goes, hold on, I'll just, you know, he tucked it back down and he made it all nice again. And, you know, and I stopped for a second and I looked at the floor. Yeah, the car was spotless. And the seats, I happened to see the seat under was brand new. And the car was probably 2 years old. And I actually asked him, I go, how many miles you got on this thing? He goes, oh, you know, 160,000. I was like, oh, my gosh, New York City. That's like 9 million miles. The car's been to the moon and back. So I really...
Because when it's your car, you act differently than when it's some fleet car that other people are sharing.
That's exactly right. So tip of the hat to all you people out there that are side hustling, doing the Uber driving, and caring about your customers. I just did a show with Entrepreneur about customer service. And I honestly, it's like the... And you know, you get to rate these people, right? So if...
Right.
If the world is changing and we're in a type of a world right now where people are not buying cars because in New York City, it costs more to park it than it costs to take the Uber to get there. So you might as well Uber because then they drop you off and you're done. You're in your meeting, right? So it makes total sense in the big cities, these car sharing services or whatever you want to call them. What do they call that service? What is it actually called?
Ride sharing.
Ride sharing. There we go. Thank you. I knew there was a name for it. but makes perfect sense to do this. But now in the small town USA, maybe not so much, but they still are doing it. They're still, people are side hustling, right, making a little bit of money. But people, that customer service is so, so, so important. And I really, really appreciated the whole experience I had.
I mean, look at Disney built a whole thing on that, because are their rides bigger or faster or any? Not really. But it's about the overall experience. Think of it this way. Think of it this way. When you go to like a Chick-fil-A or an In-N-Out, right, those kind of fast food places,
right,
it's always the same thing. Oh, right away, sir. Oh, it's no problem at all. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Can I get two Cokes? I made a mistake. Oh, it's no problem at all, sir.
Yeah, right.
That's what people want.
Customer
service. Guy to go, oh, it's shift change.
And Brian,
oh, I care.
Brian, you know what? You know what the most important thing is?
I feel good.
That's what it is. It makes me feel good.
Yeah. Well,
now that we got past that, take a little break. Yeah. And Brian Moody from Autotrader.com. Auto Trader isn't just the best place to buy and sell things and do your research. They have their own stories, like 10 best hybrids and EVs for 2018. So, we'll talk about that on the other side. This is The Drive. I feel nice. On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet, the new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance. You're listening to The Drive all across America and around the globe because of the interwebs. And check us out on Facebook at The Drive with AlanTaylor.com. No, that's on .com. The Facebook is just The Drive with Alan Taylor. You know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm talking about. Don't worry about it. But I've got Brian Moody on the line. He's the executive editor of AutoTrader.com, and he is now going to talk about a story at AutoTrader.com, their editorial content, 10 best hybrids and EVs, electric vehicles, EVs for 2018. What do you got for us, Brian?
The kids love the Facebooks, Alan. so, listen. We got 10 of the best EVs and hybrids. Now, it used to be EVs and hybrids. You know, that was a bit of a yawner of a topic because, well, what did we have? We had the Prius and the Volt, and that was kind of the end of it. Now there's like a lot more variety. So here's 10 cars that we think are worth considering, fun to drive and nice inside, starting with the Prius Prime. That's the plug-in hybrid. And when you get the Prius Prime, you can get this gigantic touchscreen in the middle, almost Tesla-like. It's a long sort of tablet-looking thing.
Right.
One bummer is you can't get Apple CarPlay in the Prius, but other than that, it's a really good car. We drove one at Auto Trader for 4 months on one tank of gas and got 235 miles per gallon, so that's worth.
Wow.
You got to charge it up every day, though. You got to charge it up every single time you go someplace because the range is 25 miles plus the gasoline engine. So,
right,
you know, but it's a decent car to pick from. The Ford Fusion Energy is another one. Nice inside, performs well, nice looking and affordable if you can find a used one. That might be the way to go. The Bolt, of course, the 200-plus mile range makes it amazing. Also, there's a lot of luxury hybrids now. I don't know if you know this or not, but like I didn't put this on the list because it's kind of expensive, but the Porsche Panamera Gran Turismo has a plug-in hybrid. It's our top-performing car as a plug-in hybrid. Now, I didn't put it on our list because it's a $200,000 car, but I think it just goes to show if the top-performing Porsche 0 to 60 is a hybrid, maybe we need to adjust our thinking. So back down to reality might be like an Acura MDX Sport hybrid, you know, luxury,
right,
quick, that kind of thing.
Well, look what Jaguar is doing with the I-Pace now. That's
I-Pace.
You know, that's crazy.
Yeah. I think that whole world is about to get, you know, kind of a reinvention, for lack of a better word. We're moving on to like EV 3.0, where the Bolts and the Leafs of the world are important because, you know, those are affordable cars.
Right.
And that's important. But we're now, you know, and maybe we can blame or give credit to Tesla.
Who, yeah.
But I think what they started is they produced a lot of competition. The Audi e-tron, the Jaguar I-Pace, the Porsche plug-in hybrid, the Acura MDX, all luxury cars that I think are more affordable and ultimately more longevity than, say, a Tesla.
Well, you know what? Here's what I got to say about this. If you look at Elon Musk, first of all, you got to admire him because, you know, I work with entrepreneurs. You got to admire the guy for his entrepreneurial spirit, his guts, his grit.
Sure.
But the question is, what does a man do when he's gone this far, put his tail out there, you know, as far as he can get it and risked everything? And this starts happening to where everybody starts, you know, joining him in that quest. I know what he does. He goes and smokes pot and drinks whiskey on a podcast. That's what he does. But, you know, I mean, let me tell you, the stress is very high right now for that guy.
Right, but those guys are consummate optimists, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of their job. When you're in charge of all that stuff, you kind of have to be optimistic to get the ball rolling. You know what an optimist says right when they jump off the roof, right?
What?
This is a super funny joke. So far, so good. I mean, that's kind of how you have to do it if you're going to be an entrepreneur. You're just going to go for it and be like, hey, we'll figure it out as I'm falling. And that's kind of what he's done. Your question is, now what?
Yeah.
And that's a good question.
Hold on. We'll answer it on the other side. And honestly, there's only one thing that can happen is somebody's got to buy Tesla and rescue them. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Drive. More with Brian Moody from autotrader.com.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
My dad is a proud doer, always building, repairing, or maintaining something. He relies on Craftsman tools, and I do the same. Today, Craftsman mechanics tools, metal storage, and lighting are available from your favorite retailers. But that's only the beginning. A full line of retooled and refined products are on the way. Find your favorite store at craftsman.com and stay tuned for more big news from this trusted American brand.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Bridgestone. They're passionate about making tires you can count on to perform when it matters most. Bridgestone Tires. Brian Moody's joining us from autotrader.com. Their editorial content is fantastic because Brian is in charge of it, the executive editor. We were talking about the 10 best hybrids and EVs for 2018, electric vehicles. It's interesting to me.
Yeah, so.
I never thought, by the way, that they would get this far with electric vehicles. I thought, somebody's going to tell everybody that gasoline is so much cheaper in the long run than all this electric stuff. Let's just keep doing what we're doing and improve on it. I mean, look at the cars are getting 40, 50 miles to the gallon these days. And, you know, a gallon of gas is not that expensive. I mean, you know, I don't know. What do you think?
I think that will continue. I think that the gasoline engine is going to be around and with us for a very, very long time. But I think one of the things, there's a few things from the past that have happened when all of the, you know, all of the future predicting about how we're going to run out of gas. Well, they didn't predict in 1972 that you would have a Nissan sedan that would get 40 miles per gallon or a Prius that would get 55. They just didn't know that was possible. And so they couldn't have accounted for that. But I think one other thing that people are not taking into account in the sort of marginal rise in popularity, the EVs are still a very small percentage of the market. But I think the one thing that people have failed to take into account is that they're just fun to drive. When you look at a Jaguar I-Pace or even a plug-in hybrid, like this is how far we've come. There's a 2018 Mitsubishi Outlander plug-in hybrid electric car. They're fun because it gives you that instant off-the-line response. And I think that that's the thing that's going to make people look at electric cars more so than the efficiency, because when you factor in the cost of the car, it might not be that much more efficient over the life of the car.
You know, I'm getting used to the electric car thing only because it's being forced down my throat. but I'm still
like the way they feel.
Well,
like the way they feel.
No, I just, I'm just still a internal combustion guy. I can't help it. I think they're great for city cars, but it just still makes no sense for me because I'm a long hauler, man. I get in a car in LA and drive to, you know, a Phoenix or drive up to Oregon or drive to Vegas. And, you know, it's like, it's always a little more than the range and I don't want to get out of my car. I want to go, I want to be there. So,
yeah, that's,
you know,
that's not the right application for these cars. These cars are for people that stay in the city. If you think about this, here's the perfect example is the Chrysler Pacifica Hybrid. It's a plug-in. And you can go 30 miles on just the electric. Now, if you have carpool, pick up your kids, drop off your kids, daycare, after-school activities, you could probably do most of that on just electricity, right? So during the week. Then when the weekend comes and you do want to do things like you're talking about, you can still use the same car to do it, unlike if you have, say, a Chevy Bolt. You don't have that flexibility. So with a plug-in, you get kind of the best of both worlds, and I think that's what people are kind of warming up to is that you can have this.
Yes.
And the plug-in hybrid Pacifica isn't that much more than a regular, nicely equipped Pacifica.
Yeah, see, and that to me makes perfect sense. I agree with a plug-in hybrid because I drove the Volt, V-O-L-T, the Volt, which is an extended-range electric vehicle. So it's an electric vehicle with an engine that
right.
is not really connected to the drivetrain because all it is a generator. You know, it's an electric vehicle with its onboard generator, which is brilliant.
Right.
And I drove one
so
of those.
So if you never want to plug that in, doesn't
yeah,
matter.
Like,
say
right.
you're busy for 3 days, doesn't matter. Just drive it.
Right. I drove one of those 2,000 miles. And I didn't have time to plug it in or anything anywhere I went, but it didn't matter because, you know, when I needed it to be a car like a normal car, it was that for me for 4 days. But then when I got back home, I could then plug it in because I have an extension cord and a place to plug it in at my house. I don't want to steal electricity from
right.
somebody there. Hey, what are you doing? You're plugging in my car. You steal my electricity, you know. So I like that idea, but I still think that,
that's
you know.
That flexibility, I think,
right.
is where it meets people where they are.
That's
you
right.
don't, it's not, listen, people are not looking to extra ways to be inconvenient. They look for less. So that's why the flexibility of those cars works out well.
Yep, agreed. So on this 10 best hybrids and EVs for 2018, is there one that rises to the top that you guys think that it kind of is the creme de la creme?
I think there's two that I think fit that bill. The Honda Accord Hybrid is an excellent car. Doesn't matter whether it's a hybrid or not, it's just excellent. And then also the Pacifica, because it's the only hybrid minivan, and the EV range is 33 miles, which is not doesn't sound like a lot, but it's enough to do your chores around town
right.
and then have that flexibility. So I think those two are ones that are worth considering. And like I said, there's everything from a $30,000 Leaf to a $200,000 Porsche. If you want a car that gives you that zippy, off-the-line, you know, electric car feel, and, you know, you're using a little bit less gas, there's a lot to pick from.
All right. So I send people to autotrader.com. How do they find the editorial? Do they use the navigation bar and find editorial or what?
No, right there on the homepage, there is articles, reviews, all that kind of stuff. If you, like, right now, I'll tell you what we have up there right now on the homepage is the Honda Accord.
Okay.
Lots of cool stuff like that.
What I want to talk about.
All kinds of choices.
You've made it Allen proof or idiot proof, depending on how you want to say that. That's nice. That's good.
Makes it easy. I didn't say that.
I know, but listen, if I have to go navigating around and I can't figure it out, I just go next. So that's
right there, baby. Car news and reviews right there on the front.
Can we talk about. Exactly. Can we talk about this? All the flooding and stuff? Do you guys have anything going on? I got to take a break, but on the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah? You got something?
I do think that it's important.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
For sure. We'll talk about that.
All right. Let me do this. I got to pay some bills, you know, that kind of stuff. You're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. That's Brian Moody from Auto Trader. Our show brought to you in part by Subaru. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. We'll be right back and find out about the flood cars because there was a lot of water.
You can spend this fall hauling bags of leaves to the curb or hauling. Hurry in to your local Dodge dealership for great deals on Dodge Charger with 292 horsepower and 30 mpg highway. Dodge Challenger, the most affordable V8 in its class. And Dodge Durango. This fall, get great deals at your local Dodge dealership. EPA estimated MPG. Actual results may vary based on Ward's Middle Specialty Segment. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
is the baddest badass at Auto Trader. I don't know if he's going to like that I said that, but you're a big shot over there, executive editor.
Wow. Let's not get carried away.
AutoTrader.com. The floods, the cars, the floods. You've been seeing them. We've been watching it on the news. I saw one video clip of cars getting washed down this stream. And there was like a new car dealership that was next to kind of a little stream or something. And all these new cars were floating along, Jeeps and all kinds of stuff. And it was like, oh, man, that's bad. But now there's going to be a lot of flood-damaged cars. So what do you do, bro?
There are. Well, there's going to be a lot of flood-damaged cars. And don't think that they're just going to stay in the local area because people can ship them, you know, across the country. And whenever this kind of thing happens, there's always going to be someone who either through ignorance or because they're unscrupulous are trying to make money. So there's a few things. Just go to Auto Trader and there's, you know, if you search for flood damaged articles, then there's stuff that you can find. But here's a few tips to look for. Like, for one thing, if you pull back the carpeting in the floorboards inside the car or in the trunk, there shouldn't be any moisture or mud or debris or anything like that. Like, sometimes plants can wash in there. It shouldn't smell moldy. All the electronics should work. So, for example, some electronics not working is a red flag. If the seats don't work, if the nav doesn't work, that's probably a good reason for that. That's a red flag for sure. Make sure all the lights, the interior and the exterior lights, work. Make sure that you bend the wires, flex them back and forth under the dashboard, because when they dry out, they can get brittle. And make sure that you look at the car from underneath. We always tell people to take it to a mechanic, even if you think it's in perfect condition. But, you know, little things like if the car is sitting with the windows up for a few minutes and it gets foggy inside, that might be a good sign that it had been some kind of water damage. So if you just do a few little things, you can save yourself a lot of heartache by avoiding a car that's been in a flood. Because once the cars, modern cars, have been, you know, inundated with water, it's pretty much ruined. Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of ways that you can save it unless you're going to disassemble it entirely, and no one can make money doing that. So just avoid those kinds of cars.
Well, in the electronic age that we live in, so many things are run by computers. Now, I used to own a wrecking yard.
Right.
And we're talking about 35 years ago. Goodness gracious, that's a long time ago. But 35 years ago, it was just the beginning of the electronic age. And there was a few little black boxes here and there. But I remember when we owned a wrecking yard and there was a flood in Houston, Texas, and the insurance companies called us all the way in the Pacific Northwest. And they're like, hey, you guys want to come buy some cars? We got hundreds and thousands of them. And I'm like, sure. And they're like, we'll fly you out here. This is how, because they had to move these cars. And the local people, it's like they got, you know, everything is flooded everywhere. So they're trying to move the cars. And also in 1992, Hurricane Iniki. And so they're like, you want to go to Hawaii and buy some flood cars in Hawaii? I'm like, sure. But I own a wrecking yard. We're dismantling these things. But when we got them home, we had people coming to the wrecking yard going, hey, I want to buy that. And I remember that some of these cars, literally, I mean, they were like completely underwater. Some of them, the guys would like get them running while they were there at the wrecking yard and drive them away. And I was like, man, that's wild. But the biggest thing to these wreck cars, the biggest tool that you can have when you go to buy a car, if you suspect that it's been flooded or damaged or whatever, is a flashlight. And get down on your kind of hands and knees, like Brian said, look underneath it, inside the car. Yeah. What happens is silt is really, really bad for cars and engines and all these things. It may run now, but it may not run for long. But the silt on top of the wires, on top of the, you know, the heater core.
And the corners of the trunk.
Yeah, in all these little places where you normally don't look. And listen, these guys and these people that will detail these cars out and try and resell them are very, very smart. They will steam clean the interior. But still, if you get up under the dash with your little flashlight and you look around and you see signs of mud sediment sitting on top of the wiring looms and things like that.
You got to ask how that got there.
Yeah, you got to wonder.
You know?
Be very careful, because those cars have cancer and they have AIDS. They've got everything that is the worst thing humans can have. A flood car has it. And mark my words,
and
I'm a guy.
Think about the airbags that you can't see.
That's right.
The safety systems that you can't see.
Hell.
It's fine if you're building a hot rod and you want to buy an old charger because you want the pistons or the water pump or the headlight. Fine.
Right.
But not to use as a whole car.
No, that's right. We used to cut them up and we used to sell them, you know, and we did sell some of them as is. And boy, we made sure we had disclaimers on top of disclaimers. And this was
This
was way before they started dirtying up the titles to where it would say reconstructed or damaged or whatever they say. But even then, you guys have said it before, they can wash the titles through different states and things. And
Carfax is a good help with that kind of stuff, too, because if there's an insurance claim,
yeah,
that's going to show up. And so the $20 it costs for a history report, dude, just do it. I mean, it's not worth messing around with, you know, that kind of thing. And also, if it seems too good to be true, everyone wants a great deal. But if you see a Corvette that's only got 50,000 miles on it and they're asking $15,000, you didn't just win. You probably are going to end up with the most expensive Corvette in the history because it was the cheapest Corvette in history.
Yeah. Mechanic special. If you're a mechanic, that's one thing. But if you're not, you know, a labor rate around, I think, is probably between $75 and $125 an hour, depending on what part of the country you live. And that can add up very, very quickly over and over again. And the time and energy, it's just not worth it. And take it from a guy that used to own a wrecking yard. I mean, I love the business I was in. Recycling is a fantastic business, but there's a side of it that is a dark side, and herein lies the dark side. People selling flood-damaged cars as if they were, you know, a good quality used car. So there's a story at autotrader.com.
Yep. Around. Yeah, for sure.
All right. I'm going to take another break, and we're going to talk about 7 great vehicles for tailgating. I kind of like that. That sounds like a good thing. Hold on. I got something good for you. Here it is. It's the same song I was playing before. That's not good. Oh, well. Brian Moody, I had to try and find something quick, man. I'm running my own board here. It is The Drive. I like picking my own music. Our show is brought to you in part by Brembo, the choice of champions. Brembo Brakes. We'll be right back. Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel costs, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com. Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. He's Brian Moody from Auto Trader. Our show is brought to you in part by Dodge Domestic, not domesticated. Brian has got so many great stories going on at autotrader.com. We've already covered 10 best.
I can't even keep track.
I know, 10 best. I'm keeping track. 10 best hybrids and EVs for 2018. What to look for when you're potentially buying something that could have been in the floods, because there's a lot of those cars out there flooding the market. Now it is time to talk about 7 great vehicles for tailgating. By the way, did I tell you that I was just at a Yankees game, 2 Yankees games, and I had never been to a real baseball game like that in my life, and I go to the Yankee Stadium. And I watched the Yankees versus the Red Sox. The Red Sox won that game. And then 2 days later, I watched the Yankees versus Baltimore Orioles. And if I got that wrong, I apologize. I'm not a big sporting guy. But they won that time. But then I got to go into the belly of the beast and talk to the general manager of the New York Yankees and just had, I mean, a fantastic time. What a fun thing that is. Now I understand hot dog, apple pie, and Chevrolet, and baseball, and I get all that now. People love sports, right? Tailgating is another one of those big things.
Well, especially it's the culture around it, too.
Yeah,
it's always,
exactly.
You know, that's part of it.
So give us 7 great vehicles for tailgating. What do you got?
I'm fresh out. No, I'm kidding. you know, a lot of cars are good for that. It turns out that there's a lot of features and options that you can get that are good for tailgating. And I'll give you a couple of examples. One of them is the Honda Odyssey. Yeah, it's a minivan. Yeah, it does all minivan stuff. But they have this cool feature where the third row can, like, you know how those minivans have the seats that, like, kind of fold up and tumble into the floor? Well, if you don't pull one of the things, it'll flip back and the seat bottom becomes kind of a back that you can sit on like a tailgate. So in the back of your minivan, in the back of the Honda Odyssey, is this feature where you can sit on the third row seats, only they're like tilted backwards, where you're sitting your butt on what would be the seat back, and your back is resting against what would be the seat bottom. That's right. Kind of cool. Right. I think that's neat.
Yeah.
Also has a power point in the back. Also, the new GMC Sierra probably is going to end up being the ultimate tailgating car just because of its tailgate. You know, it has that step, and it's perfect for kids to sit there. There's a Bluetooth speaker system that you can put in there. That's going to end up being a pretty cool thing because it has power points and lights, and the tailgate reconfigures in a bunch of different ways. But if you don't have all that kind of money, look for something like the Subaru Outback with a big door and, you know, a nice place to sit in the back. Wide and flat cargo floor makes it easy to set stuff out. You can get those amazing, you know, like Subaru provides these, you can get these floor mats that are like super durable, so if you spill stuff, it doesn't matter. Those are a couple options for tailgating. I think that the main thing is you have this big hatchback-style door, or you just have a pickup truck. And
you know,
that's where you're going
to
go.
It's funny. I went to don't ask me why, Brian. Please, honestly, I beg you, don't ask me why, but I was at Fashion Week in New York, okay? A couple, 3 weeks ago. I know, right? But
I went once. I thought it was fun. I mean, I didn't need to go every year, but it was fun.
I was there with, believe it or not, Kia. And because Kia, they launched a new vehicle there called a Telluride, which is their...
That's a good-looking car.
That's a really good-looking car. But what they did, which I thought was freaking brilliant, because, you know, I think the normal workaday man and the normal workaday woman look at, you know, Fashion Week and go, what the hell is that, right? Well, what they did was they found a designer that worked evidently with, like, you know, like, I don't know, Madonna or somebody, you know, somebody big, whatever. And that was, you know, showing
big,
new
but from this decade.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't even know who they were working. Somebody big. That's why I said it. I don't even know who they were working with. From this, yeah. Isn't that sad? That's how far back I am. But anyway, point is that they did a fashion show with tailgating. So they had a whole bunch of old Fords and Chevys, and they had them all lined up like they were at a drive-in movie, but the tail end of the truck was where everybody sat, and then they had like lounge chairs in the backs of the beds of the trucks. This is Kia
that's
did all
really
this.
Cool.
Right? And they really put on a good fashion show, and oddly enough, the fashion that they put on was good. It wasn't like that freak show that happens there, you know what I mean? So tailgating is so much part of Americana these days. You know what I mean? So, but I think you're right,
sure,
though. I think the ultimate tailgate machine will be that new GMC. Was it GMC that did the new?
Yeah.
If you haven't seen that, go check that out. That's crazy stuff.
The Sierra.
Is that what it is?
2019 Sierra.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so yeah, that's going to make it. That's a game changer. That tailgate could be the new coolest thing to have if you're a car guy, period. Because, you know, I don't.
And then
it's hard
after
to describe.
That, there's going to be a concert that all the kids are listening to of Def Leppard.
Yeah, no. Right. I doubt that any of those people are going to have that particular truck. Too much money there. Anyway. All right. So let's see. What else did we not get? Chrysler's mild hybrid system. What do you got on that? Give me 2 minutes on that.
Yeah. So this is back to the, you know, the hybrids and EVs that come in all shapes and sizes. Chrysler's mild hybrid system is not the kind of hybrid that you think of, like when you think of the Prius. It's a sort of a generator motor inside the engine or under the hood, inside the engine bay, that makes it more efficient, that provides extra torque at low end, and uses electricity in moderate amounts to make the gasoline engine in vehicles like the Ram 1500 and, believe it or not, the Jeep Wrangler more efficient. So here's an application of electronics or electrification is what we're calling it now, that makes it more efficient without turning it into an electric car or a Prius. And I think that kind of thing is going to be the future. It only adds 10 horsepower, but it does make the engine more – no, I'm sorry, it's 16 horsepower in the V8 and 10 in the V6.
But they're putting it in a Ram truck. I like it. They're putting it in a Ram truck. And I understand, too, that some of these you can use as a generator. If you're, like, on a job site, you know, the truck becomes a generator in essence.
Yeah, and some of these things help, like with the Jeep in the Jeep Wrangler, where there's this mild hybrid system. It actually makes it better at off-roading because it provides that low-end torque when you need it
without having it.
See, so it's not, you know, the world of this changing from this kind of stuff.
Good man. Brian Moody, executive editor, autotrader.com. All these stories are available right on the homepage. They've made it to where it's Allen-proofed, where I can't hurt myself over there. Thank you for that, Brian.
All right, yep.
All right, that's Brian Moody. I'm going to take a little break, and we'll be back with more of The Drive. There are many words you could use to describe the new Kia Stinger GT. Stunning, stylish, sporty. The word breathtaking, however, isn't just an adjective. It's a warning. Because while the ability to go 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds might take your breath away, going 60 to 0 with powerful Brembo brakes will help you catch it again. The 2018 Kia Stinger GT, fueled by youth. Stinger GT rear-wheel drive using launch control with factory-equipped 19-inch wheels. Results may vary. Do not attempt. Always drive safely.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, this weekend at Barrett Jackson out here in Las Vegas, Mandalay Bay, running the live stage. Don't forget, check it out. Barrett-Jackson.com. There's a bunch of different cameras. You can watch the behind-the-scenes action. What happens is the cars go across the auction block. Then they come up onto my stage, the live stage, which is where we talk about the cars. Why'd they sell for so much? What makes this one different from that one? It's really kind of fun. We do it throughout the day. We also have a bunch of the charity cars up, a lot of celebrities and folks that come by the live stage at Barrett Jackson. I'm very proud to be the guy that gets to host that. Also, some of the folks that are the regulars on television with Barrett Jackson come by. And also then, let's see what's coming up. SEMA's coming up pretty soon. I'm going to be on the Shell stage like I have for the last number of years. And then this year, because Craftsman is back doing their thing, we had some awesome times at Craftsman. I know the folks at Velocity Channel have offered up all the different hosts of the television shows to me to interview. And so that's going to be on the Craftsman stage inside at SEMA. So if you get out to the Specialty Equipment Market Association trade show in Las Vegas, the first couple of days of November, last couple of days of October and the first couple of days of November. Try and find the Craftsman stage. That's on the inside. On the outside, you won't be able to walk by it without seeing it. The gigantic Shell Pennzoil stage will be there with Jeff Allen from Chasing Cars, or I don't know, whatever his TV show was on CNBC. He does now Skidmark's podcast. And we kind of share that stage off and on, because otherwise one person would go crazy trying to interview all those people. Anyway, so we have a lot of stuff going on for SEMA coming up. Interesting that it is how big this industry is and how small it is all at the same time, because the aftermarket is now converging on the manufacturers, and they're actually merging into the aftermarket world. It used to be that it was the Speed Equipment Manufacturers Association, so it was only for racers. And then as the years went on, it continued to grow and grow, and all the different products and things they were making, and you know, it got bigger and bigger, and the car company started unveiling new cars at SEMA. And then this third thing happened. So you have the auto industry, the aftermarket industry, and then the consumer electronics world. January, the Consumer Electronics Show, CES. Then all the automakers went, hey, people are loving all this consumer electronics stuff. Let's start unveiling cars at the Consumer Electronics Show. So I'm also at the Consumer Electronics Show in January, which will have our next Barrett Jackson in Scottsdale right after that, and the Detroit Auto Show. And it's just so much going on lately. But, you know, just all good stuff, all fun. And then I've been driving this car, 2019 Infiniti QX50 Essential front-wheel drive version. You know, I got to tell you, it's amazing what they're doing with smaller engines and smaller turbochargers. I've seen some turbochargers that they're like if you made a fist, they're as big as the fist of your hand. And it used to be they were like big old giant things, but they keep making them smaller and smaller, and they become, you know, more powerful. even though they're smaller, they're able to do more, and they're starting to put twin turbochargers on these things. But this Infiniti had a 2-liter four-cylinder engine, variable compression turbo, and 268 horsepower. I mean to tell you, it's amazing the horsepower that they get out of these four-cylinder engines. And it used to be that, you know, that was the power of a V8 engine. And even less than that, the 70s Corvette had like 190 horsepower. Today, they're getting 350 horsepower out of a four-cylinder engine with a 60,000-mile warranty on it. So anyway, it's a pretty cool time to be alive. Anyway, enjoy driving this Infiniti QX50, $55,000. But 27 miles per gallon combined, city and highway. So 24 city, 31 highway. I mean to tell you, Infiniti makes some fantastic machines, and all the car companies are doing such a good job. If you're interested in buying a car, make sure that you go out and test drive some of these things. Don't worry, if you're like me, you got to have horsepower, horsepower, horsepower. Go out and test drive some of these four cylinders that have turbos on them, and it'll blow your mind. It'll absolutely blow your mind. Even the Mustang with the EcoBoost four-cylinder, it's like 300 and something horsepower. It's phenomenal. Anyway, a great show today, and had a lot of fun with Brian Moody from Auto Trader. Again, I'm at Barrett Jackson Collector Car Auction and Exhibition in Las Vegas, and I got to get back up on the stage. So I'm going to do just 1 hour of live this week, and next week we'll be back doing the same old thing, get more of our favorite friends back on the show. Watch us at Barrett-Jackson.com, the live streaming cameras. You can watch the auction block. You can watch the live stage. You can watch me, see what I got going on there. I'll see you on the interwebs. I'm Alan Taylor. It's The Drive. Just to waste my time with you. Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.